Thanks, Derek, and thank you for the interpreter, and thanks everyone for coming. We're going to give you a little bit of some local context here, and then we talk about soil erosion from some recent wildfires in the southwestern United States, focusing on one in particular, and what are the implications for soil function recovery. About these fires, they look big and bad, they probably are, and they really can do bad stuff in the wrong circumstances. Fire is a normal part of the ecosystems that have developed in the Southwest because of its semi-arid nature and lightning ignitions. But there have been changes in recent times which caused problems. This is most of the original fires were very low severity fires which moved across the landscape and didn't really cause a whole lot of damage to the soil. They're low severity. But then we're getting these bigger fires that are covering big areas of landscape at the same time, and problem there is getting to severity. We've also moved in terms of scale, and this is a zone of sizes. There's the prescribed fires occur something less than 400 acres. Then you get the zone of small wildfires going up to maybe 25,000 hectares. And then you get the zone of megafires. And the Redwood Chedeski, that was local here in Arizona. Where's our mouse? It was almost 200,000 hectares. The wall of fire succeeded it. It was 217,000 hectares. It's not the biggest. Some of the biggest actually occurred back in the 19th century, the Peshtigo and Miramichi fire in Canada. But there's been a change recently. And if you go back and look, and this is a graph of fire area in the Southwest starting about 1910. The records are pretty good. You see it's a dead flat line up until 1990, and there's ups and downs because of some years are more, some years less. But something happened right there. And what it was is a change in the ecosystem. The fuel loads reached a critical point where all of a sudden the fires are big and they're even getting bigger. This last bar here is not complete because it's only... So that covers half of a decade. These are decade averages. So the last couple of years have been a little bit smaller, but that bar is obviously above what I'm showing right here. And one of the things is with the fire nexus causes these disturbances in the landscapes, and the severity and the consequences all dependent on the merger of scale, fire severity, slope, rainfall. You put them all together, occurs in the wrong place on the landscape, big things happen. So, this is just a diagram here. It's a severity spectrum. What was that mouse? It goes from low, usually have a black covered surface, to a medium, which could be gray, and then you get some of these high areas that are it'd be gray to orange in color. This is severity on a small scale, but it occurs also on a big scale. And here's a case of severity on a big scale. It's all dependent upon the topography, the shape of the fire, the vegetation, soils, climate, etc. The red here is a high severity fire, and you see for this whole fire area, this is the Sierra Grande fire in New Mexico. There was a lot of high-severity fire, but it wasn't contiguous in this body. That depended on all the interaction of all those various factors. This is the Wallow Fire in Arizona, so over 200,000 hectares. The red, again, here is that's high-severity. It occurred in patches where you had this combination of fuels, topography, winds, etc. So what do fires do to soil hydrology? They burn off the organic horizon, which mitigates subsequent rainfall, exposes mineral soil, creates water repellency, creates ash that clogs pores. So the net effect is reduce infiltration and increase water runoff. And with that increased water runoff, you have transport of soil. And just as an example here, you can see a area that has water repellency, this black covered surface. Water is sitting here in puddles like this, but there's patches there where we scrape through maybe a couple centimeters of the surface material, and it's dry underneath. So all the water on is basically sitting, nothing's infiltrating, and it tends to run off. schematic here of what's happening. We get rainfall. We've had a water repellent layer set up in this black line there. Water infiltrates at various depths and then moves off to the side, and pretty soon it starts taking that material with it. And then you have some big effects. Here's an example of a slope that's been affected by fire, and you see rills and gullies have developed. Some rills here and some gullies are developing where there was none before. And that's because the water is concentrated, it's on a slope, it's moving, and it causes an effect. Now, another thing, characteristics of these events is that they don't occur on big scales. Like a lot of times, the biggest storm runoffs we see are less than a square kilometer. And this is just a graph of runoff in terms of discharge based on the area. So this is less than a square kilometer, and this goes 4 to 10. Sorry, that moved. And one of the reasons is a lot of these storms which occur, and this is what I call my Arizona H-bomb, they're intense downpours which occur on about a scale of a kilometer or a couple kilometers on a side. So even within a rainstorm, you can get one area that's affected, another area that's not is affected. A reference wildfire here, this was back in the 40s, that was reported by Hendricks and Johnson in 44. It was a mixed conifer, it was a high severity fire, and the soil loss was definitely affected by slope. And you can see the 43% slope, the loss was 72 megagrams per hectare, going up to a 75% slope, and you had 369 megagrams per hectare. And sometimes, so when the water is coming off and moving all the soil, it does crazy things. And here's an example. That's a guy standing on a soil surface, slope surface, and they're taking a measurement of a gully. There's the other guy in it. So some big things were happening. There was a lot of water moving, highly erodible soils, and it was gone. So we're going to look at the Schultz fire, which is 2010, which really gives a good example of the effects of these fire disturbances. This was on the San Francisco Peaks in northern Arizona. And it looks like the volcano just erupted, but that's not the case. It's a fire on the south slopes. And this was burning in ponderosa pine and mixed conifer vegetation. The soils are mollic euterboralfs and eutrich euterboralfs. This is a example showing the burn severity. Red again is high. Then you go to moderate and low. The area is 40% of this whole fire was high severity. That was just the start of it. It was also on the upper slopes of the peaks. So in many cases we're dealing with slopes of 100% or more. And you could see some whole series of various watersheds that we were looking at in terms of what was producing in terms of sediment. So 10,000 hectare fire, basically, and you see some whole watersheds like that one, most of it is in the high severity case, steep slopes, and some interesting things happened. We had two initial storms on this that had weren't very remarkable in terms of the precipitation. There was something like a 10 or 25 year storm, which is, you know, not unusual. But we estimate the flow event was greater than 1,000 years. And this is some of the stuff we saw. This is actually flood flow here coming off the mountain. What you're looking at there is only 50% of that's water, 50% of it's sediment. This was moving stuff the size of Volkswagens. And you can look on the side slopes. You see water just running off the surface. And this area had high severity. There's a hydraulic jump here where the water has hit a tree stem and has popped up. So, and this was just sort of astounding. And it did this sort of thing to the landscape. An area here was high severity fire. You see the central drainage in there that was before just a general swale. It's now been cut out. You had rills turning into gullies very, very quickly. And if you look across some big sections of landscape, you can see, I don't know if you can see in this picture, you can see all these lines going downhill. They're all rills and gullies. We weren't there before. I've never seen a landscape completely come apart. This is a Pleistocene volcano, and so parts of the soils are very easily erodible. but the fact that you had a moderate-sized storm, really, but you had this you had severe fire, 100% slopes. It all combined to cause this whole thing to come apart. So the upper watersheds on the Schultz fire, the slopes 100%, high severity fire, we estimate the loss of between 1,400 and 1,500 megagrams per hectare. This is the upper 10 centimeters that include the A horizon and parts of the B. It's gone. It went down slope. And how do we know that what size event this was? Well, the water came down these steep slopes across an erosional fan into a flat forested area. And you had this, this was from AD 10. This is part of the runoff from the Schultz fire. Right over here, there was some unburied scoria from the Sunset Crater eruption. It was about 1085. So we know it's been 1,000 years at least that this event has not occurred. It may be 10,000 or more, we don't know, but it was at least 1,000 years. And some people asked, we've never seen this before. Yeah, well, no one was around in 1085 except for some Anasazi Indians. Lastly, we're going to look at an example of what's happened to a area in this is a fire in 1977, so it's been 40 years since we had this fire. It was on Mount Eldon, which is right on the edge of Flagstaff. And there's photo here, so get an idea of what happened after the end of the fire. It was high severity, completely nuked off the site. And then we had another one of these moderate rainstorms came along and moved a lot of sediment off the hill. And so what you're seeing at now, sort of, immediately after the fire, you had some grass recovery, and that was about it. There was no natural tree vegetation recovery on this site. The trees were killed. They're not sprouters. There's no seed source left. It's bare. A newspaper reporter called me up and asked, and says, well, when's this thing going to recover? And I said, oh, come back in a few hundred years. So the question of soil recovery after these sorts of drastic disturbances, particularly with these sites that are on steep slopes, it's a semi-arid area, it's cold temperature regime. Recovery, many centuries to millennia, if that. So does it really recover? There's a program the Forest Service has called BEAR. It means Burned Area Emergency. It used to be restoration. It's something you could do after a fire to put the site back to what it was. They gave up on the restoration part of it and called Burned Area Emergency Recovery. Finally realized that doesn't happen. So now it's Burned Area Emergency Response. It's something you can do after a fire, maybe to mitigate the effects. They've given up on the idea that you can either recover it or restore it. So, just to conclude this thing, I'm giving you one example, with a couple of examples of the impact of these fires in Arizona, that because of changes in climate conditions, fuel loads, fires are hotter, drier, and windier, is now causing far more devastation to the soils of these upper mountain ranges. The individual areas may not be big, but over a period of time, they'll coalesce and causing some bigger effects. And so we're looking at waiting a long time to see any sort of change in there. So we've gone from a situation where fire danger goes from low to high to severe. Are we now in an extreme and catastrophic? And is this just a new normal? And of course, the fire guys like it because, okay, where's the next fire? That's the end of this. So, thank you for your attention.
We have time for a few questions, Dan.
Larry.
Dan, are there soil factors that control the depth of where the repellency develops, and does that affect the response to the rainfall?
What controls the question is about the what controls the depth to which water repellency occurs. It's the temperatures in the fire itself that drive it down. And to a point, what happens is as combustion, you get gases, volatiles coming off the fuel. Most of it goes up and you see it in flames, so some comes down in the soil. And at some point, it cools down, it precipitates and forms that layer. And so sometimes you'll see it on the surface, and sometimes you'll see it, you can see it down 10, 15 centimeters.
If it develops closer to the surface, do you have less of an impact, or is there some depth below where you have enough soil above it that you maybe not quite?
It depends on the rainfall, but if it's down deeper, it's more likely to lose more of that what's above it. So, Marty, you had a question.
Great picture. A lot of it, your effects is based on water severity, and you have those nice 10,000 hectare and whatever maps, and once people draw a line on it, you really believe it. How accurate do you feel the severity indices on these large-scale images that are being shown now, I mean, how good are they in the sense for using it and trying to estimate erosion and losses? I mean, any feeling on this? How good those maps are?
Okay, how good are the maps? And the maps are used to determine what sort of response is going to occur after the fire. They're done by aerial techniques that will, based on reflectance of the surface, and then their ground truth. In other words, you got a map and you see a whole bunch of this red area. You're going to go out there and you're going to check for water repellency. You're going to check for colors of the surface, and to indicate what the severity is.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, I think that's all the time we have for questions.